a good job done for the Hartwells and then Gary and Mary Hollies, the Hollies. Thank you, guys. And we are going to put together Katrina Hurricane Relief Fund. I heard that there's a 13 Calvary Chapels affected by this hurricane. And I got an email from the pastor of the Calvary Chapel New Orleans. The water is hitting the roof eaves. So they're pretty much, there's nothing to look for. And New Orleans is unique. How many of you guys have been in New Orleans? That is a unique town. The city is lower than the surrounding waters. And did you hear that the engineer told the government that we need to raise up the bank? And they said no. Some people just don't listen. Okay, turn your Bible with me to Colossians chapter 1. We are going to cover from verse 1 through 8. And mostly this evening, we are going to touch up the introduction of Colossians. Many times I hear that some of the Christians says, they're making a story like a first century church was great and we are in doomsday. I disagree, because first century church had just about the same problem like we did. It's not a utopia church, it's not a model church, and it is certainly not the one we should envy. Yes, they had great teachers. Apostle Paul, Peter, John, Barnabas, Timothy, Titus, Apollos, all those people. Huh? Am I on? I'm on. It's on. Ow! Start over again? We'll forget it. So that would be far from the truth. Yes, they had a great lineup of teachers, and nowadays we still have a great lineup of teachers. It's not a matter of the teachers, but the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit manifests in such a strong way during the first century, that's why we're thinking that it's great and nothing is happening now. That's not true. See, first century church had a problem such as like this. Strife, heresy, extremism, personal conflict, jealousy, misunderstanding, compromise, immorality, defection, hypocrisy, legalism, spiritual bullying. Sounds familiar? That's what's happening in United States. That's what's happening in any other country, Christian church. If that's not bad enough, they received persecution. And some of them got killed by the government and by their own neighbors. New Testament era is not as nearly as attractive as we think. And I'd rather be in the time of Jesus coming back than the first century church. Because if the Lord comes during my lifetime, I will get to see Him in the air. That would be awesome sin. First century church also had a lot of religious problems. At time of the religious mixing, especially in Asia Minor, is coming from the Eastern culture and Western culture getting mixed up. We are going to find that these Colossian people especially had a problem with Jewish legalism, as well as Eastern culture, and mixed with a Greek myth, a Greek culture with a polytheistic culture. So it was not a good place to be, in my opinion, but it's kind of a melting pot. Before, during the time, it's like if you can join the place, join the religion, then pick and choose the religions, element of some of the faith. They pick the element from the Christianity, they pick the element of the Greek myth, and they pick the element of the Jewish legalism, so on. Now, you don't have to do that. You can just make your own cult. Great example is Christian Scientology. They pick and choose what they want from the Eastern religion and as well as Christian faith. And they came up with their own thing. That's why these people in the Hollywood people is really gobbling up things. It appealed to their ego because the Christian Scientology says you are God and you're coming back in better shape. But at the same time, it appealed to the carnal side. Paul is speaking to these Colossian people about their problem, but he's not dwelling on their problem. He's dwelling on the solution. He's letting them know that Jesus is the answer for everything. That is the main thing. If I can summarize Colossians in one sentence, supremacy of Jesus Christ, or preeminence of Jesus Christ. We'll start with verse 1 of chapter 1, Colossians, and we will pray first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your anointing to be upon your word. And forgive this one, the one who speak his sin. And we're asking you to guide us, open our heart to receive, and give us wisdom to understand. Not just opening our heart, not just giving us wisdom, but most of all, let us have a determination to follow your way, whether we like it or not. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of the Colossians 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. Obviously, the author is who? Apostle Paul. He wrote this letter, epistle. It means open letter. That means it can be read by anyone in front of the public. It was written in between the year 60 to 62 AD. It was 6 years before Apostle Paul got killed. And when he wrote this, he was in Roman prison. Verse 2. To the saints of faithful brethren of Christ who were in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're wondering, where is the Colossae? Oh, too low. There. Down there is Greece, as soon as I can find my pointer. And this is where the Turkey is for now. And here's Ephesus. Some of you guys know the Ephesus very well because the letter is written for them. It's Ephesians, known as Ephesians. It's about 100 miles from here to this area, known as Lycus Valley. In the Lycus Valley, this is the Lycus Valley, and there's a Laodicea. Remember the Laodicea from the book of Revelation? Laodicea and Hierapolis, and there is Colossae. There's three cities located in one valley, and this is the Eastern culture and Western cultures meeting together. This is the trade route going all the way to the Greek, and some people leaving from Ephesus, traveling to the Athens. So this is a great place. And for a short time, Colossae was a very well-to-do city. However, it kind of slid down because Ephesus was rising up. And now, at the point when he wrote this letter, it became a second-class and second-rated city. Because of this, the Eastern culture and Western culture is meeting in one place, that's kind of almost like an intersection, all kinds of philosophies mingle in this cosmopolitan area. Eastern astrology and Greek myth and Jewish legalism meeting together here. I noticed this thing when I was in Korea, when I was raising up in, growing up in Korea. A lot of people want to be like American people. A lot of people want to be like Japanese people. They like to have the benefit of American people and Japanese people. I came to the United States in 1981, and I learned that American people like to be like a European people, and they like to have things from Asia. When I was visiting in Europe last year for a mission trip, European people like to have the things from America. So what am I getting? Nobody likes what they have. Always like to have somebody else's thing. Seems like a grass is always green on the other side of the fence. Kind of like that these people, when they're getting, instead of satisfying with the Christianity, instead of that, they are looking for something else. That's a carnal desire that is at its finest. The city, Colossians, is not mentioned in the book of Acts. All the other cities mentioned, Lystra and Macedonia, Ephesus, Corinth, all the city was mentioned except one city, Colossians. Is not mentioned. However, there's two books mentioned about the Colossians. This book and Philemon. Who is the main guy of the book of Philemon? Philemon, right? Onesimus is a servant who ran away from his home. And guess where the Philemon's home is? Colossians. So he's telling... Apostle Paul is telling Onesimus, go back to your master's home in Colossae and do your thing. So we got to look at the format of this book, this letter. As typical as the Apostle Paul's letter, it has a great deal of doctrine and practical application. This letter is written about the same time he wrote the book of Ephesians, the epistle of Ephesians. So if when you look at Ephesians, the first three chapters, out of six chapters, the first three chapters is the doctrine. In my opinion, the book of Romans and the book of Ephesians is a two pinnacle of the New Testament other than four Gospels. You follow me? They are very practical, but at the same time has it filled with the doctrine. Same thing, Colossians is the same thing. First two chapters is about doctrine. And the other two chapters is about the practical applications. Paul's epistle is written, is about the body of Jesus Christ. Talking to them about what to do for, as a body of Jesus Christ, how we can work together. Body of Jesus Christ. However, Colossians is written for the head of body. It's about Jesus Christ. Ephesians is from here to down, but Colossians is about the head. Head of the church, Jesus Christ. He was talking about, Apostle Paul is talking about Gnosticism, and he's talking about Jewish legalism. And you're wondering, what is Gnosticism? Known as Gnosis, I'll spell it for you, G-N-O-S-I-S, Gnosis. Gnosis is a Greek word for the knowledge. These people are the major problem of the first century church. They're the one who coming in and telling people, yes, you can have spiritual things. Yet, you can meet your carnal desire. It sounds great. So they talk about the fullness, and they talk about the perfection, they talk about completion, and they talk about wisdom. You can have this kind of knowledge, and at the same time, you can meet your carnal desire. All right. Colossians become a target of mixture of the religious philosophy that had the potential to lead them into the disaster. The reason is this false teaching is mixed with the Jewish legalism and the Gnosticism. As I said, Narcissus, when you G-N-O-S-I-S, how many guys have heard the word I'm agnostic? Some of you guys heard that, agnostic. Greek word and Latin word, when you put A in the front of the word, that become opposite meaning of the original word. For example, we put the word AB. Normal, you put the AB in the front, what become? Abnormal, it's opposite word, right? Or we have advantage, we put the D-I-S, and disadvantage is backward, it's the opposite word. Kind of like that. Whenever they put the A word, it becomes opposite word. Instead of gnosis, agnosis means ignorant, or the one who do not know anything. So when somebody tell you, I'm agnostic, in other words, they're saying, I'm stupid. So they're like, oh, you're stupid, okay. Gnostic people claim that they have a special knowledge. They say that Jesus is good. Yes, salvation comes through Jesus. But you need to achieve a little bit more. You need to have this knowledge. But this knowledge is not available to everyone, but is available to only us, Gnostic people. So they're making themselves elite. They're making themselves as a special. And to hang around with them, they have to join that group. And to join that group, they have to be almost like stuck with a stuck-up attitude and meeting the carnal desires. Notice that this arrogant message is undermining the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had the audacity to tell people what the Jesus is offering is not good enough. Next week, we are going to study from verse 9 all the way to possibly end of chapter 1. And that is the main point of book of Colossians. It's talking about supremacy of Jesus Christ. Added to the Eastern speculation and form of Jewish religion, the teachers believed that the rite of circumcision gave them extra edge, spiritual perfection. We are going to deal with a lot of that, but not as much as the book of Galatians is dealing with it. Book of Galatians is especially written for the Jewish attitude, people coming in with Judaism, and you have to do this, you have to do this, do this. Special dietary laws. Do you know who still follow that kind of thing? Not the Jewish people. Do you know who still follow, quote-unquote, within the Christian realm? Seventh-day Adventists, exactly. They are willing to follow the dietary law, but they are not willing to follow the rest of the Old Testament law. For example, if they follow the Old Testament law, they are not supposed to drive because they cannot travel more than half a mile. When I was in Israel, I noticed that at the end of the town, they above the head, and they draw the line, and they have a line. That means you cannot travel further than that on the Sabbath day. On Sabbath day, they have a strict code that they're supposed to follow. And that's why the Seventh-day Adventist people do their service on Saturday to observe the Sabbath. But they are traveling more than half miles in the car. Do we have any of these heresies today? Yes, we do. They said having Jesus is great, but we need to add more to have this total religious system. Folks, let's make it very clear. Jesus alone gives us salvation. Agreed? Nothing else, nothing more, and nothing less. Jesus died for our sin on the cross, and that was enough for God. And that's why he said, it is finished. He didn't say, it's almost finished. When you look at that, it is finished in the correct term, it is imputed. It is completely, all the sin has been transferred to him. It's a banking word. Let's read verse 3. We give thanks to God, our the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and know the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in spirit. Apostle Paul is thankful for their faith in Christ Jesus and their love for all the saints. By the way, Catholic Church is trying very hard to make the John Paul, what's that guy's name? John Paul? Pope John Paul, whatever that guy's name, I forgot. Anyway, they're trying to make him to be a saint. I noticed that they already have a statue of him in the cathedral. You are a saint. Whether you believe or not, you're looking at Saint Junho. And you're thinking, that doesn't fit with you. It is true. Once we receive... Don't laugh at me. You're hurting my feeling, man. Once you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you become saint. Not by what we do, but what He did. However, becoming the true follower of Jesus Christ and walking every day is a different story. We have to strive for it, to please Him. Colossian believers, they were taught well by the Epaphras. Epaphras is the one who is the founder church of Colossians. Apostle Paul never visited Colossus. Do you know that? He never visited this place. Yet, he is writing this letter to them because obviously there is a severe attack against the Christianity of Colossians. So he's writing this letter and telling the people, you follow this guy, Epaphras, who was saved through the teaching of Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul did not begin by attacking false teachers, but he's telling people in verse 13, we'll find out that exalting Jesus Christ is the most important thing, and showing the preeminence in five areas. You might want to jot it down, and we'll revisit this again and again. Gospel message, number one. Number two, redemption. First one, gospel message. Number two, bless you, redemption. Number three, creation. Number four, church. Number five, Apostle Paul's ministry. Let me go over one more time. Gospel message, number one. Number two, redemption. Number three, creation. Number four, church. Number five, Apostle Paul's ministry. They're challenging his authority, just like the Corinth people did. Today, in America, as well as all around the world, we desperately need the same message that were preached to the Colossian people. We need that thing. Because a lot of people think that all the religion lead to the same God. Is it? No. Buddhism does not lead to our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Scientology does not lead people to Jesus Christ. Mormonism does not lead people to Christ. Jehovah's Witness does not. Nothing else except Jesus, true faith in Christ Jesus. There's only one way. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Not a way. I'd like you to have confidence in your heart that you are chosen before the creation of the universe. You are chosen by God. Your name, now that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, have a confidence in your heart to preach the gospel, to speak about Jesus Christ. You may say, well, I'm not a preacher. Let's go to the last verse of Matthew, please. Last verse of Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19. Chapter 28, verse 19. Go therefore and make a disciple of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Didn't say you apostles, didn't say you disciples, didn't say you preachers. This command is given to all of us. Did you get that? To all of us. That's why there's no requirement needed when somebody baptizes another person. You don't have to be a licensed preacher. You don't have to have a college, Bible college degree, or you don't have to have a seminary degree to baptize another person. Talk about Jesus Christ as what the Bible says. And when that person is ready and that person says, I want to be baptized, you do it. You don't have to wait for the preacher to do it. Forget about all the do's and don'ts of some other churches, tradition. Tradition does not save people. Religion does not save people. But Jesus Christ does. Let's make one application. Knowing real Jesus helps us to stay away from the counterfeit no matter how it comes packaged. Knowing Jesus, true Jesus. I'm sure you all heard the age-old illustration. Bank teller does not study what kinds of counterfeit they can find. They are not looking for how to find the counterfeit by studying the counterfeit. They study the genuine $20 bill, $10 bill, $100 bill. They look for the real money. If anything else, they find counterfeit. Study the Word of God. Remember what we study in Hosea chapter 6. I repeated several times during the study of Hosea. Remember? My people perish because what? Thank you. Lack of knowledge of the Word of God. When the Jehovah's Witness study their Word for 14 hours a week, how many hours do you study? How many hours do you study? I'm talking about study. No wonder why they're gutsy enough to go into somebody's home every Saturday and knock on the door to talk about their doctrine, even though it's wrong. By the way, they don't come to my home anymore because I invite them, I tell them, come on in. And they say, well, in Greek, which version would you like to have? I have three computers opened up. Which one would you like to use? And they ask me, what do you do for a living? I'm a pastor. Oh. Please, study the Word. This collection will give you great knowledge about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Who He is. Knowing Jesus and making Him known. Right? Let's stand up and pray.